Peace is another innate quality. Purity is another innate quality. These are our innate quality. And just wait. On one side of the coin, when I'm angry, am I relaxed? Let's put it that test. Am I relaxed when I'm angry?
No.
Am I comfortable when I'm angry?
No.
I'm at home, at ease? What is my expression like? Does my jaws hurt? Do I get tired fast? If you don't want to get to, you want to feel hungry. Peace is another innate quality. Purity is another innate quality. These are our innate quality. And just wait. On one side of the coin, when I'm angry, am I relaxed? Let's put it that test. Am I relaxed when I'm angry?
No.
Am I comfortable when I'm angry?
No.
I'm at home, at ease? What is my expression like? Does my jaws hurt? Do I get tired fast? You don't want to get to, you want to feel hungry and tired, don't do anything but think. But think angrily. And you drain all your energy quickly. So you're not relaxed, you're not at home, you're not at ease, you're not light, you're not easy. And can that be natural? Do you feel natural at that time? No. When you're peaceful, how do you feel at that time? Relaxed? At home, at ease, calm, energized. See the difference? So it tells me clearly that peace is my natural quality, not anger. It tells me, my experience tells me, anger is alien to my personality, but peace enhances my personality. So peace is my natural quality, not anger. No matter what the psychologist or whoever wrote, but my experience tells me differently. That peace, I feel comfortable and relaxed and at home with that feeling, but I don't feel that way when I'm angry. So anger is not part of my natural personality. All right? Okay, so psychological effect, and there's more to that. Okay, even a little anger, like irritation, is not good. Anger is never without reason, but seldom a good one. Yes? It's never a good one. Okay. So we're going to talk about the guidelines, how to overcome anger. Yes? What would you come up with now? I'll give you 2 minutes, and then I can share with you. Can you just switch off just temporarily? Yeah. Yes? What would you like to say? What are methods you use? Or have used, and it's working for you?
Meditating.
Meditating. So you must be a close friend of Sonia.
They're all close friends.
Are they all close friends? So you shouldn't invite them for anger management. You have got to invite a new group. Okay, what else?
Well, if I still have anger in me, I reckon they also have it.
Yeah, we all have. Me too. We're not there yet, but we're trying to get there. Yes. Any suggestion on your part? Yes?
Letting go of the story.
Letting go of the?
Of the story.
What story?
The story that I think made me angry. And if I let go of it, I usually find that there's another thing, another reason, and another emotion.
Right. So letting go. Yeah, thanks.
Sometimes it helps to count to 10 and take in a deep breath. Then you have a little while to think about what you actually are angry about.
So what if you count up to 10 and nothing happens?
And I count to 20.
Oh, wow. That's the idea. Keep counting. Thank you. Yes?
I use the nature because the nature... It's
not angry.
Right, and in harmony.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly, and then you can come back to yourself.
So you use nature to calm yourself. Beautiful, beautiful. Yes, anybody else?
Shopping.
You definitely have many credit cards, right? Yes?
Sometimes I use exercising.
Exercises, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I just like to talk about it with someone.
Yeah, you talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
It takes time.
Yeah. Yeah, good way.
Yes, when you are in a situation when people get angry you're arguing, you can try to find some good words and to try to talk in a way so people don't think that they are guilty, but tell what you feel like. What are your feelings? What are my feelings in this situation?
All right. You don't let them feel guilty,
yes.
But you explain your feelings.
Yes.
And
try and tell what happens in me without getting too upset.
Right, right.
But putting some words on it.
Right. So trying to understand what is going on inside you.
The feelings.
Mm. So talk to yourself then. Mm.
Yeah.
Self talk.
Yes.
See, that's a nice way also, yes.
Sometimes if I don't know what I'm angry about,
yeah.
I start hitting a pillow or a bed because often the angry feeling it's in the arms, so I get it out by hitting my bed or a pillow.
I hope nobody's a rocky when you start hitting. Okay, okay. Yes?
Breathing deeply.
Sonia, you paid all this ticket to get me here and they have all the answer. I'm thinking, what am I doing here? All right. You know this one, right? This image, right? I'm sure all of you have been familiar with this because you've all done some meditation course or positive thinking in the center. But just to go it over, the function of the mind, intellect, and personality trait, we all have a mind of our own. And with our mind, we create thoughts, feeling, desires. They all come in our mind. But then we don't do all the things that we think. Let's say I'm thirsty, and I tell myself, should I get myself something to drink? Should I take something hot, something cold? Should I take coffee, tea, juice, water? What should I drink? So then I take the help of my intellect. So my intellect now, with the help of my intellect, it filters all these ideas and then comes to decision. Okay, let's try passion fruit drink. No, not here. It's a bit sour.
Or
but back in the Caribbean, it's very good because it really gives that feeling of coolness from the warmth. And so let's say I take passion fruit drink. I'm in the Caribbean and I'm by the beach and, you know, so I choose to drink passion fruit drink. It is only when I make that decision, that information is then fed into my brain and it activates the right organs. I should walk and go to the fridge or go down the street and go to the supermarket and get myself that drink. Then I do the action of drinking it. First I think, then I decide, and then I act. And every action has an impression or a reaction. So having drunk that drink of my choice, then I feel my thirst quench. And I said, wow, this is a good choice. So it leaves a very good impression. What if I drink it and I don't quite like the taste? It didn't quench my thirst. Then also that is an impression, good or bad, an impression is recorded. Now, when I'm thirsty again, what would I do? I will take the help of my experience, right? And so when an action is repeated a number of times, right? I drink passion fruit juice once, I like it, I tried it a second, third time, what happens then? I develop a habit. Put all my habits together, what do I get? My life, right. I get my personality. So who created that personality?
Yourself.
Myself. Who can change that personality?
Yourself.
Are you sure?
Huh?
Are you really sure? Who created that me? Myself, right? Mm-hmm. And if I want to change some of my personality, where do I begin?
I go here.
Hmm?
I come here.
You come here. Easy answer. Sonia, you have the trouble now. All right, so.
To agree with yourself that you want to change.
To accept or agree with yourself that you want to change. That's right. But where does the starting point? Where's the starting point? What do I need to change if I want to change my personality? Habits. Yeah, but what caused me to get this habit?
Your thinking.
Your thinking. Yeah, the pattern of your thinking. Change the pattern of your thinking. Change that. That's the seed of your personality. The way you think, ultimately you become. So if I want to change myself, I've got to start thinking differently. And for that, obviously, you need quiet time. You need to solitude and you need silence. Two things. Give yourself a dose of 15 minutes per day. 15 minutes of every day. Give yourself quiet time and being with yourself. Not in the company of everyone, but with yourself. So that you begin to hear the kind of thoughts when they come on the screen of your mind. You can see them, so you can be able to change them at that level. See, you try to start understanding the mind, and to understand the mind, you've got to be quiet to know what's coming in your mind. And you'll come to know yourself so thoroughly that the minute the thought comes, you can say, no, that's not the way to think. So you can change it at that level. But only if you listen to yourself. And that means only if you are quiet inside. So that is why we encourage people to take time out. Yes?
Your thoughts are coming from your beliefs, so shouldn't you start changing your beliefs?
Right.
Instead of starting a level higher with what you're thinking.
See, beliefs is something you hold on to until you experience different. When you experience something, you don't say you believe anymore. You say, I know it, I've experienced it. So belief can be handed down to you by your culture, by your parent, by your church, by your society, by your nationality. Beliefs are something that is handed down to us, and we accept them until we experience different.
So, what about the experiences I've had with the Jews? That becomes a belief.
Right. That is only after experiencing it yourself that belief is no. I'm just clarifying this word belief, because belief only stays with you until you experience. When you experience it for yourself, it's no longer a belief. But beliefs can change later on. So your experience is what? Your experiences, you're angry or you're upset. These are personality traits that you have developed. It's not on the basis of your belief. Understand? It's not on the basis of your belief. It's something that you have developed and you're responsible for. Because I could say I believe that. But ultimately, I could say it was what my parents gave to me or what my society offered to me. And I can still play the blame game. But what I experience, and where am I responsible? I'm responsible because I created those thoughts. You know, you can't go to the court and say, my hand did it, not I. Mm. Right? Because you're responsible for your action. Somebody can come and say, I have a nice idea. The neighbors are not there and there's a lot of apples on the tree and they're rotten. Let's make full use of it. It's a grand idea. Why waste? But you can't go to the court and say, my friend told me about going there. When you make the decision to go with your friend, from that moment you become responsible. So you see what difference? Belief is one thing, and other people's idea is another thing. But what your decision and your action and what the outcome, it develops a personality, and you're responsible for your personality. And I'm saying that because the change can take place. It has to be your change. You have to decide on that. Like what our friend said earlier, I accept that I want a change, and then change begins. What I was saying earlier about taking the initiative, I'm ready to change. I want to change. That's all, you know. The universe is going to support that initiative. But first, you've got to make that. They say a 1,000-mile journey begins with one step, or they say God help those who help themselves. But he's not ready to give one step forward unless you make that first step. Understand? He's going to give you 1,000 steps. He'll make 1,000 steps towards you. But first and foremost, you've got to make that first step. That's what my responsibility. So today my whole talk is on my responsibility for how I'm feeling, what I am, and not the other person. Very often when I conduct session, people enter the room, I don't know them, they don't know me. And given a chance, they tell me, this at work it's like this, at home it is like this, that one, this one, and this one. And you know, they talked. Give them a chance and they share their story. And their story is all what the other person is doing and what the other situation means to them. And before the session is finished, they always tell me, I see so many things, I've got to change. You know, I saw myself in the session. So the I comes in. And the focus is now on them rather than outside. That transformation must take place in our lives where we stop looking outward and we start looking inside. And accepting our part and accepting our responsibility. Otherwise, change doesn't take place in our situation at all. I've got to begin to look inside and accept my contribution to where I am, what I am, and how I'm feeling. There's no other person responsible. Other people may contribute, but they are not the source of the way I feel. They may contribute to the way I feel, but they're not the source of the way I feel. Make sense?
Yeah.
Again, it's a matter of responsibility. So we're going to look at, so I told you about these guidelines. I'm going to look at more steps to overcome anger, reappraise. One, become aware of what triggers your anger. What are some of the things that make you angry? Once you know the roots, you can deal with it more constructively. You know, there are two ways. You can respond to a situation and you can react to a situation. When you react, you're not in control. The situation is in control of you. And when you're responding, you are in control. And there's only two ways, right? You either react or you respond. You react or you respond appropriately. So become aware what triggers your anger. Once you know the root, you can deal with it constructively. Monitor the feelings and bodily sensation and use these sensations as cues to stop and consider what is happening and what to do about it. So when you get that feeling, it's coming up. Irritation in the form of irritation, you're getting very tight, you're getting a little tense, right? When you see you're losing, you're beginning to lose your cool, you must know what will happen next. So monitor your feelings and use them as a cue to help you to consider what is happening and to change the course of action. Relax. This guy is definitely in the Caribbean. All right? Relax. Simple relaxation tools such as breathing or relaxing imagery can calm down angry feelings. Breathe deeply from deep inside of yourself. Picture your breathing coming up from your gut, from deep inside. You know, deep breathing brings back that calmness and control. Slowly repeat a calm word or phrase such as relax, take it easy, while breathing deeply. You know, there was a story how this visiting minister was in the office of his friend, the country he was visiting, and one man came into the office, and he was very aggressive, very angry, and the minister whispered something in his ears, and he became very quiet. Shortly after, a second person came in very hyper, and he did the same, and that person became calm. So the observing minister said, the visiting minister said, I noticed two people come in this room very hyper, and you said something to them, and they became very calm. Mind telling me what you said? He said, I just told them not to forget rule number 4. He said, and mind telling me what rule number 4 is? He said, don't take life so seriously. And he said, mind telling me what are the other rules? He said, there aren't any other rules. So sometimes we take life too seriously, trivial things, and we lose our cool. You know, we start steaming for nothing, absolutely nothing, and we spend all our energy. It's not worth it. And where's your dignity at that time? Now somebody is pulling, holding a string, and you're their puppet. Imagine yourself being a puppet, and somebody is holding the string, and they say dance, and you have to dance. Whether you feel like dancing or you don't like to dance, you have to dance. This is what it means to lose your cool. You are a puppet, and you're dancing at somebody else. It's not a very dignified image, is it? Huh? So every time you get angry, especially when others are observing you, tell yourself, am I the puppet? Is she the one who's, or he is the one who's holding my... No, it's not a dignified position at all. So, hold on to your dignity. All right, use imagery, visualize a relaxing experience, like she goes to the beach or to the nature and she regain her non-strenuous, slow hatha yoga exercises can relax your muscle and make you feel calmer. Respond assertively. The goal isn't to suppress anger, but to express it in a non-aggressive way. Blaming, accusation, threats, name-calling are aggressive responses. Calmly and assertively stating your thoughts and feelings about a situation without blaming is a far more powerful way to respond to conflict. Now, I give you an example. You know, you see, in self-esteem, there are 3 levels. One is called self-esteem passive, and one is called self-esteem aggressive. So if you allow people to take advantage of you, insult you, as you know, you often say, somebody insult me or somebody get me angry, and you just lie low and allow it to happen, that's being passive. But it is also called low self-esteem. To be reactive and to be aggressive is also low self-esteem, but it's called aggressive. We need to get a high self-esteem, assertive. Not aggressive, not passive, but assertive. Say what you have to say. Say it with authority. Say it with dignity. Say it with self-respect. Say it formally, but don't say it aggressively. And don't suppress it. Right? Don't suppress it. Don't react to it, but state your case, state calmly. I was in the ferry one day in Guyana. It was 2:00, and the ferry leaves to go to Georgetown, the capital. It takes 3.5 hours ride, purposely it starts 2:30 or 3 o'clock. So by 7 o'clock we get to the other side, and then we take an hour drive to the city. You do a day's business, and you connect with the ferry at 5 o'clock, and you get home in the evening. So you cover a day's business in the capital. So it was it's organized in that way. 2:30 in the morning, I got on the ferry, and I'm sitting, and behind me, the rows of the chairs or the benches, somebody is smoking. And so, of course, the smoke is getting into my nostrils. So I said, turn around, and I said to the guy, excuse me, sir, your cigarette smoke is getting into my nostril. So I looked at him, he looked at me, and I turned around. And I said, I did my best, I had alert him. After a while, I didn't get the smoke, and then I looked around, and I saw he way out by the bow of the boat, he continues to smoke, but he's observing me. Some point, I said, when he gets back, I should acknowledge that. So when I did sense he came back, I said, thank you, sir, that was very kind. He turned around and he said to me, how did you do it? How did you do it? You made me do it, but I didn't feel aggressive. How did you say it? You know, you see, normally I would have lost my cool. How dare you tell me what to do or where to sit or, you know, but you made me do it. How did you do it? So this is what I'm saying. You can say what you have to say, but don't lose your cool. Okay, I think we have to close now. Is it? 8:55, we should wrap up. But I give you a couple more. Communicate better. Angry people tend to jump to and act on conclusion. You make judgments, right? You form conclusions. And some of those can be even inaccurate. In case of heated discussion, slow down and think through your responses. Listen carefully to what the other person is saying and take time. Take your time before answering. Keep your cool. Don't allow the situation from getting disastrous. So the other person can trigger, right, be a trigger, but how you respond can blow it out of proportion, or you can, it's like adding fuel to fire or pouring water onto the fire. You have that choice, right? Otherwise, things can get out of control, or you can keep it in control. It's not the other person, but it's your reaction or respond to it. So change your environment. Problems and responsibilities can weigh on you and make you feel angry at the trap you seem to have fallen into and all the people and things that form that trap. Give yourself a break. Make sure you have some personal time scheduled for times of the day that you know are particularly stressful. So if you're going into a stressful meeting, take a few minutes before, because you know how stressful that meeting or that conference is. Prepare yourself then, in other words. Or after the meeting, prepare to take a little time for yourself to assimilate it. You understand? Because unless you don't take time off to cool down or sort it out, then everything gets on top of you and then you start losing your cool. So use humor. We all do that sometimes, no? See, imagine yourself as an unreasonable god or goddess. Maybe you realize how unimportant the things you're angry about really are. You got to find a way out, but don't be a puppet. That's important. Okay. Relinquish your anger. If angry feelings about a particular person or situation are eating at you and none of the above proves helpful, try doing what may be the most courageous and difficult things of all. Just let go of it. If the anger is based on some old wound deep within, letting go starts a healing process. You know, if nothing works, then you say it's not worth it. Let me let go of it. But that is courageous, because when you get angry, there always is feeling it's somebody caused you to be angry. So letting go means, right? Letting go means you have to take responsibility. Otherwise, You know, because all along you're thinking that person is the root cause of your anger. But now you're saying, no, I need to let go. Maybe it's all about me. Can we do that sometime? Just walk away?
It's difficult.
Change that word. It's challenging, but not difficult. It's true. Use this word. Make sure. This is something I've paid so much attention to over the years, not to use this word difficult. Although it is, but I never alter this word difficult, unless once in a while. But I'm telling you, the habit of using this word difficult is no longer there. I always use the word challenging. Yeah?
Can you help me and explain how do you heal old wounds? I think it's very difficult.
Yeah. It's very difficult.
I see you again and again and again.
Because in healing wounds, the first thing first, two things go hand in hand in the healing process. You know, it's like you have an infection. And so there are some stuff inside that needs to get out. So what will happen? The pain will become unbearable at some point, until and unless the pore burst and it flows, right? Mm-hmm. Until that, the pain becomes increasingly more. Is that so? But when this skin bursts and it spill out, what happened? Unless that stuff go, healing cannot begin. So first and foremost, forgiveness cannot. We say we will forgive, but we will not forget. You will not forget the person who did it to you. Right? You're hurt by somebody else. You'll not be able to forget that person who did it to you. You may not forget the incident that had occurred, but you have a responsibility to forget the pain. It's not the other person. No matter how much you blame that other person, you need to work on your pain. So you must learn to forget your pain. You know, that pain must go. The incident may not go. The person who did it to you may not go. That you will not be able to forget. But you have a responsibility to forget because you are hurting, not the other person.
But how do you forget the pain?
You have to work on your self-respect. You've got to tell yourself somewhere, somehow, I had contributed to this. I am responsible somewhere. That means I'm not shifting the blame on that person. It doesn't work. It doesn't get you anywhere, actually. So you got to face the responsibility. Maybe I did something that was wrong. Maybe I have contributed it somehow. Maybe I didn't handle it well. So put myself and ask myself, where have I made a mistake? And now I don't want to make that mistake, and I don't want... It's like I shouted Sonia once, you know, in the morning I wake up, let's say tomorrow morning I wake up, I'm in a bad mood, and I shouted her. Now, fine, I am upset, so I shouted her. Now, her responsibility is not to take hurt from me. Now, she holds on to this, and she said, she shouted me, she said that to me, and 1,000 times tomorrow she repeats that. Who is responsible for that? Me or Sonia? I only said it once to her, right? I shout at her once, but she repeats it as a mantra all day long. Whose responsibility is that? Understand? Understand the point? She keeps repeating it, so she's hurting herself 1,000 times. I only hurt her once. How many times she's hurting herself? 1,000 times, every time she repeats it. So where's her responsibility in? Saving herself from being hurt? Where's her responsibility? Does she have any responsibility? No, none at all? So she should repeat the mantra? She has a responsibility. So if somebody has been responsible for a pain and it's an old wound, why do I keep holding on to it? Understand? For how long would I hold on to it? And for how many years I'll blame that person for my womb? Understand? Mm-hmm. Is there a responsibility at some point? That I should take responsibility? No more, no more, no more. He hurt me or she hurt me once. But where's my responsibility? Again, I come back to this one word. It seems to be my mantra for this trip. Responsibility. Because until we are not responsible, change doesn't take place. I think I'm going to close now. I say thank you and hand you over to Sonia.